Good morning. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and this morning we're going to talk about pests, pest control, pest management. We have the guys from Axum Pest Management in Miguel Ornelas and Josh Topham. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Morning, morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. So, pest management does not sound fun to me. What do you do all day long?
So a day in the life for me as far as pest management is you're just inspecting, looking at people's houses. Right now it's ant season. The ants are crazy.
Yeah.
So it's really the most important part we do is the inspection. And then we treat around homes, inside, get under houses, crawl in there, see the creepy crawlies, and make sure people have a wasp in a web-free home. So
why? So you guys started this business how long ago, Joshua?
It would have been our ribbon cutting with the chamber would have been the beginning of June last year.
Okay, so
we're
just
coming up on our 1 year.
Just about a year. And what made you want to start a pest control business?
Yeah, I think the big thing for me at least was Miguel had 6 years of industry experience and I had 7. Miguel is from the Cookeville area. He's mm-hmm. been here since, you know, he was a kid.
97, I think. I grew up in White County, so.
Right. And so, and he's got family here, and I'm from West Tennessee, but I've made Central Tennessee my home. It's just, I came out here and I fell in love with it. And so when we'd both had so much experience, the company we had worked for a couple of years out of Nashville ended up selling.
And that's how you guys connected is at the company in Nashville.
Yeah, right,
we worked
in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that company has since sold to a national chain, and we ended up kind of moving around here and there, still in the industry. And then Miguel's family actually have a flooring company up here in Cookeville. So he came back here and worked for his brother's flooring company. And I kind of, you know, started looking around at business opportunities and found that there was a need here in Cookeville for what we do and what I knew we could bring to the marketplace as a unique provider for pest control. And so I reached out to Miguel and asked him what he was doing. And he said flooring. And I felt like it was a waste of his amazing pest control talents. And so I asked him to...
Miguel, how's that feel to know that you're so talented with pests?
It's pretty awesome. I think if we take care of people, everything else works. I've always been a people person. I was in the hospitality industry for 11 years.
What about pesty people?
We get a couple of those every now and then, you know. You don't find them often, but they're out there.
Yeah.
You know, on the story with the pest control, too, I had my kids live here with their mom in Allgood, and that's how I ended up back in Cookeville because I was working in Huntsville at the time, and, you know, it's almost 3 hours. Coming to see my kids every weekend made it a little difficult and taxing at times, mm-hmm. and I was like, man, I need to be closer to my kids, closer to family, and that's really where I ended up here, and the opportunity kind of came about. So.
Did you feel like, you know, you're working in a family business doing flooring? Did you feel like I feel like I'm a part of this because it is my family? Or did you think I kind of want to start something else? I want to start my own thing.
So along with a conversation I had with Josh, I have always wanted to do my own thing. I even remember when I was working for a Longhorn Steakhouse a long time ago, one of the interviews, I was like, yeah, I plan on owning something at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the opportunity came about. So I started helping my brother doing the flooring, but when the opportunity came up, I jumped on it. I mean, that's what it's about. I'm a people person. So I think if you take care of the customer, they'll take care of you.
And Joshua, you mentioned that when you were working for the national chain, you were doing sales. And so you were bringing on clients and you learned a lot of skill and you're like, but I'm not seeing all the fruits of my labor because I'm working for somebody else.
Yeah.
And so was that really your catalyst to say, okay, let's go start my own thing?
I think it definitely was. It was a very big component of me wanting to get out and start my own thing. I would say the biggest thing is what really pushed me to want to do my own thing was I'm actually a mechanical engineer by trade. I have a mm-hmm. degree in mechanical engineering. And so innovation is a big part of the way that I think. And so after being in the same company for so many years and, you know, being able to bring all that fruit to the table, but then also kind of see some of the places that I knew things could be innovated on, mm-hmm. but I was never in the role in order to implement that kind of, you know, innovation in the space. And so when the opportunity, you know, came around, or we created the opportunity ourselves, that was really what drew me to it, was the fact that I got to use that creative thinking to really change the way that pest control is done and innovate, not just within the company itself, but within the industry, to really kind of bring something different. And also, you know, the way that we have our employees structured and really trying to make the company work as efficiently as possible. Because again, like Miguel says, it's a people game, right? When you take care of your customers, but you also take care of your employees, they're going to take care of you.
That's a huge part of things. And Absolutely. Sometimes I feel like people will focus on one or the other. They're going to focus on their employees or they're going to focus on their customers. And it's hard to marry those two together.
Absolutely.
What do you think gives you guys that secret ingredient to be able to marry those things together very well?
Well, and I think that's why... what drew me to Miguel so much and the reason I reached out to him in the first place was because of all of those years he had in customer service. I mean, you know, this guy will talk your ear off and you'll just fall in love with him every time. I mean, he's just such a people person.
He's breaking hearts all over.
He is, man. Let me tell you, he is. And that's really what it came down to. And so Miguel is really, really good at always being able to look outside of his own perspective. So from the customer's eyes or from the employee's eyes, and be able to have those kind of harder conversations of what do you need? You know, as a customer, sometimes people don't want to talk about, you know, yes, I have fungus in my, you know, crawl space, or yes, I've got, you know, my kid was bit by a brown recluse, you know, things like that. People, that they're hard conversations to have. And so Miguel does a really good job of bringing out that empathetic side with the employees and the customers to have those kinds of conversations.
Miguel, you mentioned ants. It's ant season. And I think that first of all, I think that there's something crazy about ants in Tennessee. I don't know what it is, but I've never had ants like this in any other place that I've lived in.
Yeah.
What makes the ants go crazy in your house in Tennessee?
It's really a lack of knowledge as far as ants goes. A lot of people, when they see ants, they immediately think, I need to kill them off now and spray whatever you can get, you know, at Lowe's or some of these contact. Everybody goes for the home defense and start spraying them. And for someone who's a non-professional, dead ants is a good thing. And for me, that's actually not a good thing at all. Because we're really looking for the queen. So if we have to get products, they get all the way down into the colony, they get shared, and it's a slow process, which is unfortunate because in pest control, everybody thinks you got a silver bullet, you're going to show up, and then by the time I leave, everything's dead. And that's just not how it works with communal insects. I could get really nerdy on it, but the idea is we want the ants to stay alive so they can bring this stuff back, wipe them out, and... unfortunately, people don't think that way. We live in a very, very
instant gratification
environment. Yes. So.
Is there something though that's different about the climate, about the area of Tennessee, of the soil, of something? Like, these are crazy ants.
Yes. Yes. So the it's really environmentally pushed, I guess. The ants will always react more during really wet seasons. Of course, we got spring. We've had a ton of rain. And that's literally what happens. You get a lot of water up against the house. It pushes them out. They got to find somewhere, and they're just looking for something.
And they're coming inside for the water.
Yes.
And that's why they're... And I think often it feels like it's sugar sources or something like that. And But it's really trying to find water for their colonies.
Yes. Yes. A lot of them will get flooded out. A lot of people don't... Here's a pop-up video. A lot of the times over the winter, they'll actually nest around root systems because all of the sugars and starches that the trees are using to feed the blooms and the leaves get pushed down into the roots because there's no leaves during the winter. Well, during the springtime, all that sugar and all that good stuff gets pushed back into the tree as it starts to bloom. Well, now the ants don't have a food source, and they've got to go looking, and they're going to be looking on your counter or in your kids' rooms.
Yeah. That's crazy. So were you guys the kids at like 10, 8, 10 years old that were playing with worms and spiders and like all the gross stuff?
Well, for me specifically, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, or if you'd have told me 5 years ago that I'd be in pest control, I'd have told you you were crazy. I had insects was never a thing for me. I was working in the restaurant industry. I thought I was going to live and die there. So, but fell in love with the industry when I ended up.
And you're so knowledgeable about it. You're so, you know, knowing all the things of it.
Yeah, you have to. You absolutely have to. We work in a continuing education industry, and so you have to get classes, and you have to go to do these things. That's why.
And you got Joshua pushing you to be innovative. And,
yes, very much so. So
trying to kind of make it the way that is leading technology, yes, and stuff. So Joshua, were you a creepy crawly playing with worms? And
I mean, I was always the drinking out of the water hose on the side of the house, you know, rub some dirt in it kind of kid. I was always outdoorsy. But just like Miguel, no. When I was in college, if you'd asked me if I would be doing pest control, like Miguel said, I would have said you were crazy, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you got an engineering degree.
5.5 years of mechanical engineering while being
and
a college.
And thousands of dollars or however, you know.
Absolutely.
College is not cheap or, you know.
No, it was not.
I'm guessing your parents aren't super, well, you own your own business, but I guess there's probably a little bit of like, can we use this engineering degree?
And it was very much that way. And I'm blessed to say that I had very supportive parents where, you know, if I told them, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to achieve this thing, you know, they believed in me, which was, you know, I'm blessed that not everybody has. And so that was amazing for me. But it was definitely a shock when I said, hey, now that I've graduated with my degree, you know, surprise, I'm starting a bug company.
And was this your side job while you were in school? And this is what you were kind of...
Right. Yeah. So basically I would work for those first couple of years before the company out of Nashville sold. It was in the Nashville office. And so I would work for the 4 to 5 months that I had in between semesters in the summertime. And then I would go back to my fall semester, the winter break, back for the spring semester. And then as soon as summer hit, I mean, we would usually have to be out of the dorms for at least my first 2 years. We had to be out of the dorms on May, I believe, like 14th, and my start day in pest control was May 16th. So I had 2 days to get all my stuff together, get out, and then start the job. And then I moved back to college a day before classes started.
And
every time.
It was a physical, you know, for a summer job, it's physical, it's hot, it's disgusting. Like, you know, so we'll get into it in a second. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Miguel and Joshua, the owners of Axum Pest Management Inn. And we were just talking. So this started as a summer job. Miguel, you were in restaurant. Mm-hmm. This would not be a thing that I mean, of course, I would not pick it. If I find ants are not that bad, but like spiders, ooh, no way. I want to burn my house down.
Yeah.
So what was like, yeah, that's the summer job I want.
Right. I mean, I had worked 12 hours a day the summer before I went to college. I ended up working at an IT firm. A friend of a friend's dad owned it, and he was nice enough to give me an internship. And so I worked almost all day there from like 8 until 4. And then I worked at the YMCA from 4:30 until close. And I closed as a lifeguard. And I worked 12 hours a day almost every day that summer. And by the time I got out after, you know, Uncle Sam took his chunk of change, you know, I didn't have much to go to college with. And so I got into the pest control game and I really worked hard at it. You know,
was it paying better than the YMCA?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And so after that first year of one, making more money than I'd made the summer before working 12 hours a day. Granted, like you said, it's a little bit nastier work. You know, you're in crawl spaces and crawling around with the bugs and in the dirt all day, but it definitely paid better. But again, where the satisfaction came for me was the customer service side. When I was, you know, when I was helping people with their pest control needs, and then a month later they'd call me and be like, oh my goodness, thank you so much. Like, my son can go outside and play in our yard now. Like, he's not getting destroyed by the mosquitoes. Like, this is amazing. Like, that's where it really connected to me that, yeah, I'm out there getting rid of people's bugs, but more so than that, I'm having an impact on their day-to-day life, like how they use and enjoy their space, not just in their home, but out of their home. That's what really brought the gratification to me and what really made me fall in love with pest control, more so than just dealing with the creepy crawlies.
I'm guessing you're similar, Miguel, because I feel like that customer aspect is really important to you.
You know, everybody's got a story, and if you sit down long enough to listen to them, it's pretty incredible. And it's the people for me. You know, I happen to do pest control, but I'm in the people business for sure. I got to experience some pretty cool conversations with people, not just selling pest control, but also servicing. And, you know, like, I got the opportunity to meet a ground astronaut while I was in Huntsville. And I'm like, that's cool. What does that mean? And she she managed the research operations in the International Space Station from computer screens in her room, in her house. And I'm like, wow. How cool is that? You sit there and talk to somebody and everybody's got a story, you know, there's a quote that I remember that says, you know, everyone will always remember how you made them feel, not what you said. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really big into that. So,
well, and the thing that I like to, when you are passionate about your business, no matter what it is, I really truly think that you, part of your company culture is not just pest control. It's really impacting the lives of the families that you're working with.
Absolutely.
And so I think that that's the key to success in a business, is really feeling passionate about helping people no matter what it is, whether you're selling a mattress, whether you're doing pest control, or you're helping them start a business. It's really important to feel like you're helping better the lives of people around you. And I think that's what kind of stands a successful company aside from, you know, apart from others.
Absolutely.
And starting, you, there are other pest control companies here. And so what did you have to try to do to make yourself stand out as a new company? What have you done over the last year to keep yourself successful?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is, again, it feels like, you know, almost everything we talk about comes back to people. And so when you have that impact, with us being a small local business, we don't really market, we don't advertise. You might see us post on Facebook every now and then. Other than that, though, we've been blessed with a ton of organic growth. Just mostly, you know, people of people, right? Just friends of friends has been a really, really, we've been blessed to have that be a big part of our business growing. We've also been entrusted by some of the other people in the Cookeville area who have had pest control companies and have looked to get out of the game, and have retired from pest control and have entrusted their customer base to us, which has been, you know, again, just another blessing and another really, really, a way that Cookeville welcomed us with open arms, which was awesome.
Well, and one of the things, Joshua and I had talked about this when I first met you, is that you really wanted to make sure you had a great website to schedule things. You have a great logo. You wanted to make sure, sometimes in service industries, it's like, I can come spray your bugs and, you know, I don't need a branded shirt or a hat that, you know, says that I'm part of this company that's coming to your house.
Absolutely.
Or coming in your house. Why was that important to you to make sure that you had the whole business as a package of this elevated business?
Well, I think it's super important because as much as we are a small local business, we are professionals, right? And we can talk here all day about how much we love people and we love, you know, meeting people and talking with people. But at the end of the day, we are there to kill the bugs. Mm-hmm. And so we are professionals in that, as Miguel, you know, again, you can talk with him we can do a 2-hour podcast with him and you'll talk to him for, you know, hours about how all the different bugs he knows. And
listen, I'm all excited about the answer already.
Hey, that's it. And so having everything put together for that professionalism, because there are a lot of people that, you know, oh, hey, my brother, you know, Billy Bob, Joe Bob,
yeah,
he's got a B&G and he sprays my bugs for me.
Yeah.
And what he's putting down or where he's putting it down, and is it around your kids or around your pets or things like that. Like, you want to be able to, one, go to a website where you can get all the information you need. But then also, if you need to reach out to us to ask a question, the phone number that's on that, on our website, is Miguel's direct line. So mm-hmm. if you have a question about the products that we use, you know, if you've never used our service and you're just like, hey, you know, what are you going to spray on my house if I ever called you out in the first place? Like, Miguel can answer those questions. And we've actually worked with, you know, a veterinarian here in the Cookeville area to ensure that, you know, our products are pet and family friendly. You know, we don't want to be putting anything down that is going to cause, you know, you guys have to be off your yard for 2 days or anything like that. We want to be able to, again, make sure that we can take care of you the way that we say we're going to, while you're still able to utilize your space to the maximum of its capacity.
All right, we're going to get on to cicadas.
Oh, boy.
So the cicadas. I'm convinced that they're going to eat my face off about every time they land on me. I think I had like a ninja chop the other day. One landed on my arm. What can we do? What can we just enjoy the screaming?
Cicadas,
why is this happening to us, Miguel?
They cannot be stopped. There's nothing we can do about cicadas. Anytime anybody asks me, I'm like, there are billions, if not trillions, of cicadas that are emerging in the Southeast right now. This is the first time it happens about every 200 years. And what's happened,
we're just lucky enough to be here.
Different broods have emerged at the same time, which is what's causing this mega,
17 year, 13 year, 5 year. 1 year?
Something along those lines. You sound like you've investigated more than I have.
So. They're probably not going to eat my face off, right?
So here's a fun fact. They're actually one of very few insects that the Jewish community can enjoy because they're actually kosher. There are recipes out there for cicadas.
What?
This is a real legitimate thing. Absolutely. It's real. Somebody yesterday, actually, one of my customers yesterday said, well, you know, it's biblical. John the Baptist actually survived on cicadas and honey. It's in the Bible. So
okay. They
are completely edible. They don't carry diseases. They don't bite.
So you're just supposed to go scoop them up and put them in a pot or something?
At the end of the night, they emerge at night, and that's when people hunt them down and pick them. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And there's nothing So we don't want to kill them because they're just part of the life cycle.
Yes.
They're just kind of annoying.
Yeah, they're feeding the birds, the chickens. They are very much going to be making some fat birds out there because there's a lot of them. But outside of keeping, you know, your doors and windows closed, or if you have screens, making sure that you're living with the screens because they will get in there. They'll land on you. It's happened to me.
But even then, they can't bite you.
Mm-mm.
Do they leave anything if they get into your house? Are they going to,
No.
They're not like a moth that's going to tear up,
your
anything.
Clothing or anything like that.
Yeah.
No, there's literally no, outside of just fear of insects, that's about all they do. I was actually at a graduation party this past weekend, and there were like six or seven like toddler age kids around me, and I took one and I put it in my mouth. I didn't chew it, but I put it in my mouth and opened up, and everybody started freaking out. So,
oh goodness.
Yeah, there's
on that note, we'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Miguel and Joshua from Axum Pest Management. We were just talking about, I learned a lot about, more about cicadas off the air. And so I just feel like if you people want to have cicada conversations, they should call you guys up and just, talk about all the things. I learned, their wings are what make the noises. I really just think that they're really just angry. And they're just screaming.
They have a lot to say, don't they?
Yeah, they have a lot to say. And maybe we should act as cicadas sometimes. Yeah. It's maybe that we could get our anger out is kind of what I'm thinking.
That's it. Every 200 years, if we all just screamed a little.
Yeah. So cicadas are not part of your package of taking care of cicadas. Ants are. And what other services do you offer?
So the really the big three in pest control is you have your termite control, termite prevention, either remediation or prevention.
And how do I know if I have a termite problem at my house?
So that requires an inspection. I always recommend people at least once a year get somebody to crawl their crawl space. Look, unless you're under active protection from another company or know that you've been treated, you've got to get eyes down there, not just because of the termites, but I found plenty of leaky pipes, things and issues that people don't know that's going on their house. But I recommend it at least once a year if you don't have any kind of termite protection to get somebody out, a professional, to go in there, look and see, give you an assessment of what the house looks like or what it may need. And especially with termites, insurance won't cover any termite damage because it's considered preventable. So that's really the big thing with termites. We do offer mosquito treatments. That's the second one. It's a mosquito, flea, and tick, which is going to cover, your yard. That's going to cover with all your flies, gnats, mosquitoes. And then, of course, the fleas and the ticks are really bad out here in this area. And then your general pest, which covers the ants, all your crawlers and flyers up against the structure of the home. Those are your big three. And, of course, there are other specialty, like you've got your cockroaches and then your bed bug treatments. There's a lot of other specialty ones, brown recluse, things like that. But your big three are termite, mosquito, and general pest.
And what all – so spiders and – are slugs part of pests? I'm not a city girl, I guess.
slugs are a part of the general pest. You don't see them a lot. They love really moist places. There's a property that I have that's currently dealing with them. She called me out, took a bunch of pictures. She's just like, freaking out. She's like, I don't like these things. But yes, slugs are covered under the general pest.
Really, in this area, most of the pests and the things that you take care of really aren't super harmful to families, correct? Like, you know, ants aren't going to hurt me or my family. They're a nuisance in my home. Most of the spiders that you can find around here are not harmful. You know, there are a few, but for the most part, these are just an annoyance to people. Is that correct?
Yes. So on as far as spiders goes, the brown recluse and the black widow are really the most danger to people. Wolf spiders, all of these other creepy crawlies aren't really a problem. The other ones would be like the yellow jackets, the wasps. Though now those can get aggressive. People do get stung often. My brother's actually highly allergic, so if he gets stung, he starts to swell up immediately. And so that's some of the issues that we like to take care of for folks. But outside of, you know, you don't want it to look like it's Halloween outside on your house year round. And so that's kind of we
Miguel, prevent, I feel so. Like this was a personal attack. I feel as though that, you know, I'm just year-round ready for the spider. I have my Halloween decorations.
Well, you're right. And you're not alone. You know, most people that even have a pest control service, they still are covered in those spider webs up in the eaves because most companies just focus on ground pest control, right? They really are focused on your ground spiders, your ants, your centipedes, your millipedes, anything that's trying to get in from the base structure of the home. And so out here in Tennessee, we're blessed with all these massively mature trees, and that's where most people's spiders come from. Is anybody that's seen Charlotte's Web has seen, you know, the scene at the end where all the babies throw up that little bit of webbing, and yeah, it's called a balloon, and they basically just balloon over to the side of the house. They get up into your eaves and they start getting ready for October.
Yeah.
And so, you know, having somebody that's constantly up there getting those down for you, and then putting a liquid repellent up there to give you some kind of guarantee that you don't have to go out there on a weekly basis and brush down all the unwanted Halloween decorations for you.
How have you guys learned so much about pests control, pests in general, of understanding the tree cycle? I mean, there's a lot to know. Instead of just wiping out, spraying some chemical that wipes it out, just understanding, okay, this is one of the problems, is that it's coming in from the trees and it gets in your eaves. Where did this learning process come from?
Well, and we're blessed in Tennessee. I say blessed, but it's the Tennessee Department of Agriculture is who kind of controls the pest control industry here, and the commercial pest control industry here in Tennessee. And so they have a lot of rules and regulations. And along with what Miguel said, we are in a continuing education industry. And so they do require us to keep our licensing and our chartering and everything else to continue that education. And they go above and beyond on education. Again, at the end of the day, we can just say, hey, trust me, I spray this and it gets rid of this bug. But to actually know the ins and the outs and why what we do does what it does, it makes all the difference, right?
Because I'm sure some people want to know all that information. Some people absolutely are like, I don't want to hear it all, just get rid of it.
For sure.
But I think for me, knowing, I think so often people will think your house is disgusting because you have ants in it, and it's like that's just a part of this area,
Tennessee?
You know, right? And so I think sometimes it makes you feel a little bit better of like, okay, this is just a problem that everybody goes through, and kind of figuring that out.
Absolutely. I think that our service and getting rid of the bugs is probably 20%. 80% of what we do is really just educating homeowners. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's getting people to know and understand what's going on their property, so that you know, simple things like when I go up to somebody's house, it's like, hey, you need to trim your bushes about 12 to 16 inches away from the foundation. That's just going to make it better so you don't end up with mice or ants up against your house. Little things like that where we can partner with people. Because when I go to spray a house, I tell folks, I'm partnered with you, man. I'm as bought into this house as you are, because I don't want there to be bugs for you. And you want to make sure you have a clean house, of course, a pet-free house. Pest-free. And that's really kind of what we do.
So. I've kind of just decided that we're cohabitating with the spiders in my house, that we're just going to, if there's a daddy long leg in my shower, like, we're just going to take the shower together. Like, I'm going to leave it there. I don't need to do anything to it. It doesn't, and that's just kind of, it's not too terrible, but
That's the nice thing about calling the guys at Axum, is you don't have to live that way
there
anymore.
You go.
We'll take care of it for
you. You're the eviction notice.
That's it, right? I wanted to carry around little tiny inch by inch pieces of paper with eviction notices on it to hand all the bugs, but it just, I couldn't get a printer to
It wasn't
print
in
them
the budget.
Me. No, it wasn't.
So what areas do you cover? So you're based here in Cookeville, but where can people, if they're kind of coming into Cookeville this morning just to hear you guys, where can What services do you cover?
So we will go. I tell folks the easiest way is anywhere between about 45 minutes from Cookeville in any direction. We'll go up to into Livingston. I've got a couple of customers further up into Byrdstown. We don't really market too much out there, but there are some outliers. We'll go, you know, as far out as Baxter. We've got a couple of people in Gordonsville out there. South, we'll go into Spencer. We've got a couple of big custom cabins out there next to Fall Creek Falls, and then we'll go out to Monterey. So it's a pretty big area. We don't anything further than about 45 minutes, and you're cutting a lot of time into that drive time to be able to run efficiently.
Yeah.
So
where do you guys see things going in the next 5 to 10 years? You have some other employees on the team now, and so where do you see expanding your region, expanding your employee base? What do you see happening?
Josh is very much the visionary there, so I'll let him talk.
He's the innovator.
Yes. Right, I just kill bugs.
All this pressure, all this pressure. And that's what's been the beautiful thing of going from, you know, people who worked in the industry to owning the company is where we started last year and where our goals were last year. I mean, it feels like every 30 days, you know, we meet and we're changing our goals, and they're growing and expanding, and that it's been amazing to kind of watch those goals shift. And so Central Tennessee is home, right? And that's where we're going to be. And the more people we can take care of, the better it is for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I think over the next couple of years, we're definitely wanting to head kind of in the South region, you know, kind of just continue down the 111 road, mm-hmm. Head maybe possibly down towards Chattanooga. The Nashville market is a bit saturated. You know, we got a lot of people from out of state moving into Nashville. So you start meeting people in Nashville and they're not really Nashvillians anymore. You know, they're from all over the U.S. And so possibly going to head closer out to like the Knoxville side instead, and that's kind of more of a 7 to 10 year goal, but we would love to grow and expand. And I mean, we only just hired our first full-time employee besides either of us two,
and you are owner operators, so you're the owners of this company, but Miguel's the one that's crawling in crawl spaces and you're meeting with customers and trying to sign new people up. And so that's a lot to kind of be so, but you're so invested into what this business is.
Absolutely.
And you know it's been important to lay the good foundation to have the correct start of things.
Yeah, and that's something that we were talking about the other day. I mean, it is really like we're both working double shifts. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we're working on the business almost 16 hours a day, and it's kind of broken up into 2 to 3 shifts where, you know, we'll have 4 to 6 hours of this one task. Is, you know, for me, a lot of my mornings start with administration, just making sure that, you know, the routes look good, the customers are taken care of, people are getting their notifications. You know, if people need to call me to change like billing information, I'm there for them. And then the afternoon switches and shifts into more of a customer service role where, you know, I'm either calling customers, current customers, or, you know, potential customers. And then the evening comes around and it's like you said, being the face, and I'll actually go out on the doors and meet people face to face and introduce myself and do that. And so Miguel has the same kind of shift throughout the day where, yeah, it's very, very long days, but, you know, when we are as invested and it is as rewarding, you know, it's, we wouldn't have it any other way.
If people want to get in touch with you and find out more about your services, how can they reach you?
Absolutely. The company name is Axum Pest, so AXUMPEST. You can give us a Google. The website is just axumpest.com. And then I'll go ahead and let Miguel give his direct line. That's the easiest one.
Absolutely. It's 931-256-6939. That's my direct cell. I answer any questions or anything that people can call or text anytime on that number. So.
And do you have a Facebook page as well?
Absolutely.
Yep. And people can send you Facebook messages. Axum Pest Management, is that what it is on Facebook?
The full Axum Pest Management is the Facebook page. Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming in today. I hope that everybody learned more about cicadas and all the pests.
All the fun bugs.
Appreciate you guys.